Volunteer to go to camp for me, you can. I'll let you. I'm just kidding. We're looking forward to it, kind of. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And just for starters, we're just going to read one verse, or two anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice verse 8. It's our text. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs, that is, Jannes and Jambres, also was. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, come again to you here this morning. Lots of things going on here, Lord, not just to come, but a lot of folks have a lot of things going on. You know about Ian, Lord, and the Nelsons and the Williams and all the burdens they bear right now. Pray to give them comfort in their hearts and minds. Father, there's most of us have learned there's grace to go through things when you ask us to go through them. Pray that you'll make this real to them, and Ian as well. Pray that you'd remember that. And Father, we look forward to a week of camp and all the good it can do for young folks. Pray it bless us in going there. But right now we have a business to attend to here this morning. Pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, the text here is verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, just for orientation's sake, and I know that we quote this passage in whole or in part a lot, but just to be reminded about how we got where we are down in verse 8. Verse 1, most people acknowledge that these are the perilous times, that in the latter times, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You live in perilous times for lots of reasons. And then it tells you, verse 2 and 3 and 4, the nature, the description of characteristics of latter-day man, right? And what a distinguished group of characteristics those are. Boy, I tell you. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Get down there to without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good. It is a quite a statement about human nature, is it not? Get down to verse 5, and then you have that these, despite their reprobation and their wickedness, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And there you have the form of godliness. And when I define godliness, I think of God's characteristics, right? Holiness, righteousness. When a man is godly, he's holy, he's righteous. He seeks God's mind, God's judgments on things, God's assessments of things. But these only have a form of godliness. They're not really godly. They have a form of it. That form usually falls in some sort of religious form. And they are able to put on some outward show that would lend an appearance to godliness, but they're not godly, right? These are have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now, folks, you'd be surprised how many folks that you might, under certain circumstances, respect as something like spiritual men and women. Actually, when it gets down to it, do not believe the power of God. They don't really believe the power of the Word of God. You put the Word of God out, the Word of God will not return void. They do not believe that. They do not believe that God upholds all things by the Word of His power. Be surprised how many folks that you think would know better actually do not believe God created things The way He said He created things. They do not believe in that power. They do not believe Jesus Christ did by miracles the way the accounts read that Jesus Christ did them in the New Testament. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Now, before we get off too far in that, look in verse 6, where you'll find some creeps. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Don't be offended, ladies. Silly women laden with sins. If you're not laden with sins, don't worry about it, right? Led away with diverse lusts. So these guys are creeps. Of this sort are they. Then finally, verse 7. Notice these folks, one of the characteristics is they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, ever learning. In these latter days, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, right? Before you can even go buy the new iPhone or phone, whatever the thing is, before you can even get the new laptop or desktop on your desk, some of that advanced marketing and technology is already antiquated, and you're already behind the ball. Boy, we do learn stuff, do we not? Oh, man, I tell you what. How I want to learn to ride a skateboard down a handrail. I have just always longed to wear my pants down to here and ride a skateboard down a handrail. I have always just wanted to learn that. You believe that? I remember Daniel and Paul were buddies, Paul Olson. And I'd sit down there sometime and watch those guys play video games. Hook up the box thing on the TV and, you know, they would split the screen. So they're each looking at one side of the screen at each other and they're playing against each other. In the meanwhile, I'm watching this action. I'm getting a little bit schizophrenic because I'm seeing two things from two different directions. And going, ah! Boy, they're good at it, though. Did you ever... Here's how I text. Ever watch a kid text? It's off, right? Boy, I wish I could learn to text like they did. One thing I'm not going to learn. I do not Twitter. You know why I don't Twitter? Because the root word of Twitter is twit. And I think I would look like a twit if I tweeted. So, you know, there's all these things going on. And boy, folks do ever learn, right? Yet the Bible says there, yet they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Then verse 8, comments on that verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Well, those guys never come to a knowledge of the truth, because they resist the truth. And that's what I want to talk about a little while this morning. Look again down in verse 8 and notice what it says exactly. It says, now, as Jannes and Jambres. Now, first of all, Jannes and Jambres, we have no real reason to believe those guys are anybody but the magicians of Pharaoh's day, right? Pharaoh's court magicians that came out and tried to, and did in fact withstand Moses and Aaron. They weren't named back there, but they're named now. Is it not interesting that God allowed 4,000 years to pass, almost, not quite that, in which you knew these guys were magicians. He didn't tell you until you as a Latter-day Saint, living in perilous times, didn't tell you till now that they actually had names that were Jannes and Jambres, and you know their names. Now, with that in mind, notice, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these, that is, these guys that he's been mentioning, all the way from verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves, all those guys, the creeps that creep into the houses of silly women laden in sins, and so on, these who have a form of godliness but deny the power of, even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do, in the same way, then, so do these also resist the truth. I want to preach to you this morning about as Jannes, and Jambres. And connecting verse 8 all the way back up with verse 1, I mean, we live in perilous times because men like this exist, and women like this exist, right? And that perilous times is connected. What makes the perilous times perilous is men resist the truth. Now look, folks, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? The truth is a liberating thing, and the perilous days are lived because now men, even Christians at times, resist the truth. I want to talk to you about that for a while. And apparently, resisting the truth is one of the prime vocations of the last days. And boy, you look around, I've been in the ministry for 25 years now and ministered in public and in private and semi-public and semi-private. I've counseled, done stuff on the streets, door-to-door. Boy, I felt sorry for Sam yesterday. I got up on Wednesday night and said, you know, come out to visitation. Because just this last week after the stroke, I started back visitation. You know what? Things have changed a little bit the last couple of years, and folks seem to be a little more open. So, old Sam came to visitation yesterday and went out with Pastor, and people weren't open at all. I'm a Catholic! So, we live in perilous times. Why? Because men are fortified against the truth. Men resist the truth today, maybe as never before in history. Talk about resisting the truth, boy. Folks are fortified behind their religion. Are they not? Yesterday, all we heard, we even heard a guy who said, "No, my daughter was baptized in a Baptist church right up the street, but I ain't interested." So even the baptized, immersed Baptists are fortified against the truth. We talk to Lutherans. We talk to Catholics. Boy, folks are fortified behind evolution, aren't they? Boy, folks are fortified behind global warming. Talk about two hoaxes of our day, global warming and evolution. I mean, you say, yeah, it's been a hot, wet summer. Yeah, and it's going to be a cold, cold winter too. In the end, it's all going to amount to nothing. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm telling you, folks, people are fortified against the truth. They resist the truth. And sadly, sometimes the saints, God's people, are just as resistant and fortified against the truth as lost folks at times. I have counseled saved people that sometimes are harder and more obstinate and more stubborn and more resistant to the truth than lost people. Now, with that in mind, I want to bring out a couple of things here. And the title of this message is As Jannes and Jambres. Because as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. That is, pretty much the same way Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these guys also resist the truth. That brought some things to mind. First of all, it brought to mind this. I'm reading verse 8 and I'm thinking, okay, I have no reason to conclude that Jannes and Jambres are anyone but those magicians back there in Exodus chapter 7. In fact, go back to Exodus chapter 7 real quick. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy if you would. Exodus chapter 7. And when I get down to verse 11, these things are specified of these two men who at this juncture anyway in Exodus, you don't know their names, but you do later. Exodus 7:11. And Pharaoh also called the wise men. I think wise men, boy, God hath destroyed the wisdom of the wise. Amen. Because these wise men are sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. These wise men were sorcerers. They were magicians. They were enchanters. Now, with that in mind, it says, again, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. I tell you what I draw from that. I draw from that, ladies and gentlemen, that resisting the truth is a dark craft. These guys were sorcerers. They were enchanters. They were magicians. This was witchcraft. You understand? Now look. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? Here I have a God. God is light. God is a God of truth. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We just sang the song. Jesus Christ is the truth as well. He's the way, the truth, the light. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is light. The Word of God is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Right? Now these guys, here I have the Bible, I have God, I have Christ, and I have the Spirit. Light and truth, and the truth shall make you free. And yet there are the Bible says this of folks. How is it that this craft, this light and truth, can be turned to something else? And it can. I read in Romans chapter 1 that these men turn the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Imagine turning the truth of God into a lie. It says, furthermore, those same guys became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look, it is a dark craft that turns light and truth into darkness and bondage. Whatever makes that possible, it is a dark craft. I say craft not in the sense of making crafty things. I'm talking about witchcraft. I'm talking about sorcery, right? Says furthermore that there are those that wrest the Scriptures to their own destructions. That is, they take the light source, they take the truth source, they're able to wrest and twist and wrangle and malign and mangle the truth to something so that it's not the truth anymore. That is a dark thing. You know what the Lord said? Psalm 56:5, it says, every day they rest, W-R-E-S-T, they rest my words. First of all, here, folks, it says that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these men of the latter days, so do these also resist the truth. That is, they do so in much the same way. It's comparable. I want you to compare it because what Jannes and Jambres did was through darkness and craft and sorcery. And I want you to know that turning the truth into a lie, turning the light into darkness, resisting the truth is a very dark craft. And what it comes out to be then is that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You know, in the end with these guys, as with sorcery, folks wind up bound by inexplicable powers. I mean, stop and think about this. We have been reading and studying a little bit on Wednesday night and Sunday morning some here recently about the conscience. Bible says that it's possible for a man's mind and conscience to first of all be seared, but for that mind and conscience to be defiled. And then with a defiled mind and a seared conscience, that man proceeds down the road and he is bound and crippled and in darkness and bound by a thing that he does not really understand. Right? Proverbs 5 says that proceeding down the road of sin, that eventually a guy becomes holden by the cords of his iniquities. Right? And he becomes bound in a way that he does not understand. It's not always about chemical dependency or anything like that. There's a spiritual power to bind men in sin. So we always stand and talk about how simple things, behavior, respect, discipline, dress, music, entertainment, it's important to be separated on those things. It's important to get those things right. Why? Because you start there and you start deteriorating from that point. By the time it's over with, you wound up holden in the cords of your iniquities. That is, holden by something you cannot fully understand that doctors cannot help you with. It says that there are men that have, in fact, it's in 2 Timothy 3. These men have corrupt minds. Now, you know, sad part again is that what is often determined and seen these days is that so often it's the saints that resist the truth as well as lost folks. It's a very, very sad thing when you stop and think about it. And here are saints that have been introduced to light. They know the truth, and yet they choose darkness. They choose to go back to a place where there are no answers, where there are only bonds and chains and darkness. That is a sad thing. You know, it's kind of funny because when I say this is a dark craft to turn the truth into a lie and light back into darkness. Take a guy in the light and for him to go back to darkness. I mean, this here is Acts chapter 8, a guy named Simon. Simon is a sorcerer, and the Bible says that Simon had bewitched the people of Samaria. That is, he held a crafty, dark, sorcerous power over them. He had bewitched them. And then, all the way over in Galatians chapter 5, Paul had to say this to save people. He said, "O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" I'm telling you, folks, stop and consider that as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. I want you to notice, first of all, it is a dark craft that resists the truth. Now, there's something else. Look back in 2 Timothy 3:8, where it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now, back in Exodus 7 again, I hope you held on to that for a minute. We're going to be back in a little while too. Now, when you read Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, after Moses and Aaron brought forth, threw down the rod and so on and so forth, and brought forth these miracles, it says in verse 11, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers." And you know, when he says that, you're not told how many there are. And there may have been more, for all I know, than Jannes and Jambres. But the point is that he named only Jannes and Jambres. So as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now, I'd like you to notice that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses two by two. They withstood them by twos. I say, what's the point, Brother Stephen? Well, it's kind of funny because I've learned that sinners very seldom resist the truth solitarily. They very seldom resist the truth singularly and alone by themselves. Seems they always have a cohort. Seems there's always somebody else. Now, it's kind of funny because truth of the matter is, you know, we preached before that you know, God sometimes places you in a place alone where you have to stand alone. That's true. But you know what? Generally speaking, God sends men out two by two as well. I mean, think about it. You have Abraham who had Gehazi, right? You had David who had Jonathan. You had Paul who had first Barnabas, then Silas, then Timothy, then Luke. That is, it's not that often that God for long periods of time sends somebody out to His work altogether alone, right? So it is also true the devil does not allow his to be alone too much either. And again, this kind of touches on this bewitching, sorceress-type craft where a kid or a man or a woman is contemplating doing right, changing something, and then at some critical juncture, somebody else shows up. And it's just the right person to take that person down all the further. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. It's demonic. It's devilish. It's bewitching. It is weird, is it not? I don't know how many times I have on the street passing out tracts, approached a threesome who's walking toward me, and I hand a tract like this and say the center guy or the guy on the other side is reaching for the tract, and the guy nearest me says, nah, and knocks the tract away like that. Somebody was going to receive the truth. One of his cohorts said, nah, and he walked away without light. You know what that is? That's the devil. And so often what happens, as with Jannes and Jambres, it's not that often that folks that are left alone, sinners, lost sinners, left alone, that have burden and sorrows, at the same time have light and truth, it's not that often that they will not in some way yield to the truth and break and do something about it, unless somebody else shows up. And all too often, somebody else shows up. Boy, folks, sometimes the somebody else has to do with a spouse. I've seen it before where the husband and wife, you knew that if you could deal with one and get one to break, the other one probably would. But together, they present a united front, and they are impenetrable. My wife remembers a time that, and I believe that her mother is now saved, by the way, but Marcy remembers a time when her mother stood in an invitation at Brother Keck's church in Green Bay and was standing beside Godfrey, her significant other at the time. She's now alone. But that she moved to move out of the pew into the aisle and go down front. And Marcy saw Godfrey do this on the back of the pew with her hand. He clamped down on her and kept her from going. Like I said, as far as we know, we think that she got saved a few years back. I'm glad for it. I'm just telling you, folks, that sometimes just as Jannes and Jambres, two by two, withstood Moses, so it is now that so often men, women, and children, two by two, resist the truth. Sometimes it's a mother, sometimes it's a father. Sometimes it's the best friend forever, the BFF, the best friend forever. Sometimes that best friend forever is going to wind up in hell with you. You're going to spend there forever and ever. It is also true of saints. Now, I'm careful with this because you come to church, and folks come to church with a reasonable expectation of finding friends. And that's fine. Friendship in an independent Bible preaching church is a wonderful thing. It is, however, a secondary fruit. What I mean by that is maybe the Lord gets you in His will in the right church, and there He gives you a wife, a companion, a husband, a best friend forever, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if you're coming to church for social stuff, for friendship, for a husband, for a wife, you are here for the wrong reason. The reason you're to be here, in all honesty, is not friends, and it's not companionship. The reason you're here is to get the truth. And as long as you're here for the right reason to get the truth, the likelihood is that you will prosper. The problem is, so often in even the best church around, there are folks in church at the moment, and this hour, on this particular day, today they are weak. Today they are wounded, say, or disgruntled, or grumbling, or griping. And they, perhaps only temporarily or that way, say they're inactive. Say they have a bee in their bonnet, and you go meet them. Guess what? Guess what the devil's good at? The devil is good at herding birds of a feather together. I don't know what it is. I've always noticed this in church. But sometimes, you know, you have a kid that has a bad testimony or whatever. And so often the new kid that comes in that is doing pretty good goes and sits by the kid with a bad testimony. And folks, there's something about it that's demonic. Birds of a feather flock together. And so often that's what happens. All I'm saying is this, folks, is that if you come to church and you're here for any other reason but for the truth, you're really here for the wrong reason. The Bible says, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resisted two by two. So often you have Christians ruined by other Christians. Here's the way to deal with this. Here's what to ask yourself. First of all, your friendships at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Do your friends, when you're in the room with them, do they elevate you spiritually? Okay? If they do, you're in the right company. If your friends do not elevate you spiritually, if after the adults are gone and you're in the room alone and most of the lights are out and you're sitting talking, if the conversation then deteriorates and you are not being uplifted by them, you better be careful, because as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now, the other way to look at this is, tell you what you need to make sure of. You need to make sure of the fact that there's a room of 10 people sitting, fellowshipping after church, talking, having a good time in the Lord, talking about things in the Lord and all that sort of thing. You walk in the room. When you walk into the room, do you lower the temperature and the standard spiritually in the room, or do you raise it? Because I'll tell you what, it's not just about the friends that you have that need to elevate you. You need to elevate a friend as well, and a group of friends as well. If you're one of those that when you walk in, automatically everybody knows that we're going to now talk about something just slightly off kilter, just slightly less than spiritual, just edging on carnal or vulgar or gossipy or slanderous, got news for you. You're the problem and the devil's using you. Because as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. That is, first of all, resisting the truth is a dark craft, right? It is a sorcerous craft. Secondly, these guys did this two by two. Thirdly, these guys were directed by Pharaoh, right? They were directed by Pharaoh. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Well, these guys withstood Moses at Pharaoh's behest. Do you know who Pharaoh's a type of in the Word of God? Pharaoh's a type of the devil, right? We know this. We know the God of this world, small g God, the devil, the God of this world, hath blinded them that believe not. Right? We know that's the case. How is that possible? Well, we know from John chapter 8 that the devil is a liar, the devil is a murderer, the devil's a deceiver. Right? We know that's true. So, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So, let me ask you this. The minds of them that believe not, they're blinded, right? So these people then are what? Are they automatons? Are they robots? Where the devil says, go smoke the weed. And the guy goes, yes, sir, I will smoke the weed now. Is that what happens? Go leer at that woman standing over there. Yes, sir, I will go leer at the woman. Is that how this works? That would be pretty insidious if that's how it worked. The fact that the devil would say, do this, and somebody did that, right? We would all agree that if the devil was able, just like Brother Jim or Brother Paul's aerial helicopters, it's pretty cool. If the devil did this with me and you and just controlled us, controlled our actions as we do things, lost folks or whatever, right? That would be pretty insidious. I got news for you. It's even more insidious than that. It's bad enough that there's a possibility the devil could snap his fingers, whisper in your ear, and you go do his bidding like some hypnotized half-brain. That's bad enough, but it's worse than that in reality. You say, how is it worse than that? Well, first of all, understand, we all, and I know that most folks I'm talking to this morning are saved, we all were born, where? Dead in trespasses and sins. We were born dead spiritually, right? That being the case, there's something else that was true. You, at least then, you were of your father, the devil. The devil was your father. Now, turn with me, if you would, real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm trying to show you here how it's even more insidious than the scenario I just described. Ephesians chapter 2. And again, verse 1, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin." So it's talking to saved folks now, but it's also telling you where you were before. Now notice, where you were before in your sins, wherein, in those sins, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Said that you were essentially devil-possessed then. That you walked according to the course of this world, and the world's spirit is the devil's spirit, and you walked in accord with that spirit, right? Scarier yet, though, notice verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling," notice, "the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See, the devil, by this thing that happened in the garden when Eve fell and died spiritually, the devil has this thing fixed now where he doesn't come to you and whisper, "Go take a toke on the marijuana." And you say, "Yes, sir, I will go toke on the marijuana." That's not how it works. The way it works is this. He has it fixed so that the way you think is wrong. And that when you follow the desires of your flesh and of your mind, when you serve you by nature, you are doing the devil's bidding. See, it's much worse than the devil showing up and saying, hypnotizing you, and then saying, "Go drink whiskey." "Yes, sir, I will go drink whiskey now." It's much worse than that. Because now, you left to yourself in your own passions, in your own affections, by your own desires, by your own lusts, you come up with it yourself. It comes out of you. But in coming out of you and in serving you, it is His will. You are serving the devil. See, it's much worse than you thought. Those are the devil's thoughts. So when I say they were directed by Pharaoh, I have no question. Pharaoh said, "Go withstand Moses. No matter what, do not yield to Moses." I know that's true. But with the devil and lost folks, it's far worse than that. For lost folks these days, in that they do it out of their own desires, out of their own lusts, out of their own flesh, and in doing so, just fulfilling themselves, they're fulfilling the devil's will. Boy, that's some magnificent engineering, is it not? Now, the Christian counterpart to this is what? Okay, a man must be born again. A man must be quickened. A man's spirit comes back alive by that. The Bible says, furthermore, in Colossians 1, that you that were alienated and enemies were in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Right? And then it says that you should let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I talked about it in Sunday school some, so I'm not going to talk about it a lot now. The Christian counterpart to this thing the devil is doing is that you get born again, and for the first time in your life, you have the possibility of accessing the mind of Jesus Christ. It's the Bible. You get in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gets in you. He teaches you the Word of God. By the time this is over, you are supposed to think and act and feel and desire and judge and discern just like Jesus Christ. That's supposed to be the end for the Bible believer of the work of your lifetime. That is the workmanship of your lifetime. To become in your mind and heart as much like Jesus Christ as possible. So you think like Him, feel like Him, desire like Him. But notice, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth in being directed by Pharaoh. And I'll just say that I'm not going to get off into can Christians be demon-possessed and all this. This is what I know. When you yield your members to do things the way you want to do things, according to your most natural desires, the things that make most sense to you but are not biblical, I tell you what you're doing. You're serving you. And you know what you're doing when you're serving you? You're serving the devil. Why does it say, we all know the verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, right? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why? Because when you lean to your own understanding and walk by your own desires, and by the way, the most natural lusts and affections that you have, the things that just seem to be the way things should go, I tell you what you do. You're serving you, and in serving you, you are yielding to the old man. When you yield to the old man, you are serving Satan. You say, does that make me demon-possessed? That means that you yield your mind and heart and members to Satan, and he'll use them as long as you yield them to him. Right? Eternal security is still a wonderful thing. But the devil will happily use a Christian's members and mind and heart just as much as he will happily use a lost guy's. Right? There's something else I want you to see here. I want you to notice, lastly. So, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Well, resisting the truth is a dark craft. It is sorcerous. They withstood Moses two by two. There's always a friend. There's always a cohort. They were directed by Pharaoh. It is possible to be directed by Satan without walking around with piercings and looking like the devil himself. It is certainly possible, right? Lastly, I wanted you to notice that these guys had real power. Now, to see that, go again back to Exodus 7. And again, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, just the same way they did, so do these also resist the truth. Now, notice in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, Pharaoh also called the wise men the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. They were able to equal, at least in part, Moses and Aaron's miracles. Look down in verse 22, where once again another miracle is done. This is the water turned to blood. The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. They matched them again. Then verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. Frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, and the magicians did so with their enchantments. And then you get down to verse 17, where in verse 17 the dust became lice in men. Then verse 18, the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So they were limited, but they were still able with great power, at least in some measure, to match what Moses and Aaron did. Now look, folks, that is real power. I don't care what you say. If any man can throw a stick down and it becomes a snake, even if another snake eats it, that's still pretty impressive. You agree? I mean, if you can throw a stick down and make it turn to a snake, well, that's a real thing. It's very powerful. So here you have the God of all this power, and yet the magicians of Egypt, Jannes and Jambres, were able to withstand Moses, at least in a measure, by a display of power. Now here we have a God, right? Our God upholdeth all things by the word of His power, the Bible says. says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We would all agree that the gospel is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. We would also agree there are a lot of people that resist the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here you have something that's the most powerful thing in the world, the Word of God. It upholds all things by God's power, and yet man is still able, by some measure of power, to resist it. That's real power. If God created by His Word, everything is held together by His Word, yet I can resist His Word, I have some power, right? Now, these guys had power that was sorcerous and witchcrafty, if that's a word. And I don't believe that's what I have, but I will tell you this. The Bible says that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In the meantime, you have Christians that are going back to darkness. Scary thing, right? So I got thinking about that a little bit. These guys, Jannes and Jambres, had real power by which they withstood Moses. It must be so that with what I believe about the Word of God being powerful today, that men must in turn have power to resist the truth. Here's what I learned. I've learned that excuses are powerful things. Somebody's presented the gospel to get saved. You know what they say? Well, not right now. I'm busy. Maybe tomorrow. Anybody sick of this phrase, kicking the can down the road? If you listen to news at all, you've heard now for 6 straight months on this budget thing how Congress and both parties are accusing the other party of are just kicking the can down the road, right? The idea is you're going to kick it down the road, walk back up to it later on in another year, deal with it again, kick it further down the road. So nothing's settled, nothing's solved. All right? When a man makes an excuse to not get saved, not get right, not do the right thing, he is kicking the can down the road. That excuse is a powerful thing. And the reason why is he gets to put it off. Pretty soon, putting off doing the right thing, resisting the truth, becomes a habit of character. Before you know it, you've kicked the can to the end of your road. And it rolls off the precipice. Right? I've learned that self-justification can be a powerful, powerful thing. I mean, if I'm presented with the gospel, if I'm presented with a need, even as a Christian, to get right with God on some matter, and I am self-justified because I'm not any worse than any of you guys. After all, Denny is a hypocrite. I saw him do something. I heard him do something. And you know what his wife is? Boy, is she a battle axe. And there they are, so they camp back there in that back row and they just act so pious and everything. They're no better than me. I tell you what, that's a powerful thing. If I can justify myself by knowing somebody else's faults, that's a powerful thing. That thing helps to put out light. It helps to resist the truth. So no matter how powerful that truth is, no matter that truth holds the keys to my manacles, if I can just justify myself, I can keep the manacles on and think that I'm right in doing so. It is a powerful thing. Self-righteousness is a powerful thing. Self-delusion is a powerful thing. Disbelief is a powerful thing. When you, for instance, hear of God delivering someone. You hear a testimony of how so-and-so that was a doper, a smoker, whatever, backslidden, and they actually got right. And you go, yeah, right. I tell you what, that now right thing is a very powerful tool. Because what you just did was disdain what presumably God did and delivering somebody else. And when you exhibit that kind of behavior, the devil goes, oh, boy, I tell you what, Eve had a little burr under her saddle, right? The devil goes, I heard that. I tell you what, when you do that disdain thing, when you disbelieve God, when you disbelieve that Christ's miracles could have happened, just the way the Bible says they happen, when you go, I don't know. I'll tell you who hears that. The devil hears that. I can tell you this right now. That thing is a very powerful thing. You say, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. I mean, they did it by dark craft. They did it by twos. They did it by the devil's power. They did those things, but they did it by real power. I want you to know that sinners have real power to resist the truth. A rotten testimony has real, genuine power. Amen? Just as excuses do. Scripture resting has real, genuine power. Bad friendships have real, genuine power. We talked this morning in Sunday school. How you dress, how you look. It may seem to you that you don't do much good by looking right and dressing right and your influence is much less. I can tell you this. If you start dressing wrong, there is real, genuine power in that. All right? Now, I'm done with this for the most part. I did want you to notice just two other things. I'm just conclusions. Look back in Exodus one more time. As Jannes and Jambres, these magicians, these sorcerers, withstood Moses by their craft, by their dark craft, by twos, at Pharaoh's behest, and with genuine power, so do men as well resist the truth. The last thing in this life you need to resist is the truth. The truth will make you free. Now watch this. Look in chapter 9, Exodus chapter 9. Go down to verse 11, just a couple of very quick observations. Would you notice that in the end, when Moses brought forth the boils and the blains in verse 10 upon man and upon beast, that the magicians in verse 11 could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. No matter what power they held, no matter how powerful was their magic, their sorcery, they still wound up with the same plagues and under the same condemnation as all the rest of the Egyptians. And I want you to know that you may feel the power sometimes of being able to be a rebel and not walk in concord with the Word of God. It may make you feel powerful. I'm telling you, your day is coming. You are kicking the can down the road. One day the road ends. And I want you to know, one day, everybody that's so smart and so powerful comes to a point where they themselves are afflicted by the very same plagues as the rest of the Egyptians. Something else that's very indicative, I think. Look in chapter 8. Chapter 8 real quick. And notice verse 19. Notice, we read this in part earlier. But notice that when the magicians attempted to bring forth the lice from the dust, when the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not, so there were lice upon man and upon beast, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. That is, in the end, the magicians, Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses by power and craft at Pharaoh's behest, said, something's going on here. That's the hand of God. They acknowledged the hand of God. I'll tell you this, there's many a sinner that you and I know that if something doesn't change quickly, they're going to die and go to hell. And they're not going to ever come to a day in their life if they're not careful where they say, look, this is the hand of God. I had a guy one time, I told you this story before, but my friend and I, Tommy Davis, working in Pensacola, we were carpenters. We were working on this job with this guy. And he was a Pentecostal. An ungodly Pentecostal. Claimed he had been saved and all that, but we knew he hadn't. And he was a rebel all the way. Smoker, drinker, the whole thing. One day, we got word at the job that Harley had fallen off a ladder and busted himself up pretty bad. I think he broke a leg and messed up a hip pretty bad. So it wasn't at work for months, you know, for several months. And then one day, evening service after service, I'm standing at, you know, in the church there, and look back in the back of the room, and there's Harley Coker back in the back doors, like a double door like that, standing back there looking around, looking for somebody. And about that time, he sees me, and he goes like that and heads straight for me, right? He said, Kyle, he said, I want you to know. He said, I came all the way over here from Milton to tell you that you and Tommy witnessed to me constantly, and I want you to know I told you that I was a Christian, but I want you to know I wasn't a Christian. I knew I was lying at the time. But when I fell off that ladder, I knew in that moment that God pushed me off that ladder. He said, you know what he said? He said, that was the hand of God. Now, you know what, folks? There's many a Christian these days in churches that know Bible and have the light and have the truth. And in the end, you know what they won't say at times? They won't say, that was the hand of God, and I need to get right, and I need to do right. It's a sad thing. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. And sometimes these men in perilous times are Christians. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we've heard this morning about a couple of unnamed men that now are named to us. We know something about their lives. We know something about how they conducted themselves. We know now how the devil used them, how Pharaoh used them. We know something about their craft. I pray, Father, you'd help us to examine our own lives. And there are times that all of us are guilty of avoiding dealing with some personal truth, perhaps, that will cause us embarrassment or pain. Father, I pray that you'll help us to reconsider these things. And the truth is the greatest treasure that we have. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the truth of the Bible, the truth that gives us that gospel, is the most valuable, precious thing that we have. Pray, Father, you'd help us to treasure it and nurture it. Always allow the light to find its way into the dark recesses of our hearts and minds and lives. Father, pray you deal with your people here this morning, and if there's somebody here lost, pray you'd help them to see they should not, as these sorcerers, these enchanters, these magicians, withstand the truth. Pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. Jenny's playing I Surrender All. Sometimes that's what getting right is. Sometimes that's what getting saved is. It's a surrender. It's you finally saying, okay, I'll go. If that's you here this morning, if you've wrestled maybe about some of those painful personal truths that the Lord keeps sticking you with, Holy Spirit bears witness every time you come, after every time a certain subject is hit, that this is still not right, still not right. It's a still small voice. And He whispers it to you all the time. Would you consider coming this morning before your God and making the thing right? I just know that when I got right with God as a early 20s-year-old man, I knew then that the greatest singular treasure there was in this life was the truth. You look around you, you're lied to all the time. At every turn. No matter how much you paid for the class, no matter how much you paid for the cable, you're lied to all the time. Your source of truth is the Word of God. If you haven't yielded to it, to that painful thing, that intrusive thing, that you even resent actually the Lord dealing with, if you haven't yielded to that, maybe today's your day. Maybe you should. In fact, I know you should. to allow these to pray here that are here. So let's quietly stand. We're going to sing number 394. So if you'll quietly stand. If you still need to come, you feel free to come. 394. To please at earliest possible moment get Linda the paperwork, if not the check, this morning if possible, so I can do as much of that before tonight as possible. Father, we love you and we need you. You've been good to us. You've been merciful to us, Father. And we ask you here this morning, help us be as willing to examine ourselves as you are faithful in sending the Spirit and the Word of God in to examine us. Father, we do not want to fall in the category of Jannes and Jambres and withstanding Moses. Neither do we want to resist the truth. Father, we pray you'll be with the Williams. Ian up at the hospital here today, and tomorrow it's turned into what will be a fairly lengthy trial to endure. I know that they need grace. I know they need strength. I certainly need faith and support, Father. They'll need some comforting thoughts and so on in the night. Pray that you'd give them all those things, Father. We fail at a certain level with our own flesh to be able to comfort somebody and do all for them we would like to. But we know that our God can do all things. He is the God of all comfort. So we pray in that end. And Lord, we ask you to get us back tonight safely. A lot going on these next couple of weeks. We ask for your safety there, your guidance, your wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See you back tonight, folks, 6 o'clock.